You are live on Michael Angley Live, and I am still alive. Kicking. This is February 18th. It is Saturday. And all the stuff I'm watching going on is just so stomach-turning in the media. And the media is doing that for control, man. I mean, they know what they're doing. The fake news is out there. Fake. You can't trust goddamn anybody. You know, you have to look for United Public Radio Network, because at least the people here are well-informed, and we care. You know, I do anyway, and I know that others do, too. It's like, I think when you're in that business, the business of news, when CNN went into that profit business, that's when news became not news anymore. It became selling a story. It became, you know, we have to get all these ratings because we have to satisfy our advertisers. Back in the day, and this was really back in the day, you know, people used to go home and watch the 6 o'clock news, or the 10 o'clock news was real big, and you get the gist of what happened during the day, that type of thing. And those reporters were investigative reporters. They didn't just take what someone said to them verbatim and then run and print it, or run and change it to something completely different, and then print it. It's gotten to the point where people don't trust the media. I think if you ask your average person on the street, do you trust the media? And they're going to say, no, I don't trust the media. You know, so if you don't trust the media, and let's say the robber barons are in control, the people that feed you the news are all billionaires. They are in control. They tell you what they want you to know. They give you, there's not even any selection. You know, look at your television. Some people have 1,000 channels. You know what there is? 1,000 channels is nothing. There is nothing. You just sit there and flip. Even if you have like 70 or 80 channels or 100 channels, some people have hundreds and or thousands. I'm like, what do you do? I don't even watch television. There's only a couple shows that I would ever even, I don't know. I watch The Walking Dead. That's it. And that's really it. I don't watch anything else. I don't watch television news. Television news is irritating. There's no point in watching it. I'll watch it important clippets or important bits like, you know, Shepard Smith on Fox. But he's kind of like the liberal guy, sort of there. Fox is very conservative. Everybody knows that. There's no hiding that fact. Even though they say they're fair and balanced, it's bullcrap. They're not fair and balanced. You know, just like CNN's not fair and balanced. MSNBC, fair and balanced? Rachel Maddow, really? Fair and balanced? Is that what you call that? I think it's shameful. I think it's shameful that they have herded people into a group, and they have taken that group and absorbed them and controlled them like a cult mentality. And I think that it's shameful that those advertisers get in on that, because all they're doing is focusing on people that are programmed. That's why it's called programming. People are programmed. So back in the day when they had integrity, it wasn't about that. It was about, this is the news. This is what's going on. You don't pull any punches. No political favors. You just go out and say it. Nobody controls you. You're an independent investigator. You go out and do your business. These days, everybody has an agenda. All these reporters, back then, they didn't have an agenda. Their agenda was to tell the truth. Have a truthful news story. That was the agenda. These days, it's all about these guys like Anderson Cooper pushing his agenda of what he thinks and feels. So when you do that, it's become an opinion-oriented television program. It is not the news anymore. It is the furthest thing from the news as there could be. Because they present you the news, but they will cherry-pick all of these little facts, fudge some other facts, and then leave a whole bunch of other stuff out. That if they included that other stuff, it will give you a better form of what's going on in the news. This way, they can tell it how they want to tell it. They can take the story and change it and sell it how they want to sell it. And then those commercials come on for, what are commercials on television, right? Like prescription drugs, you know? Like, the side effects are way worse than the conditions, I think. Like, when you listen to all these side effects, you know, processed food commercials, you know, things are basically not good for you. And it's interesting that that's what they're trying to sell you. They're not promoting health and wellness. They're selling you. You know what's also telling? What television, back when I watched TV, when they started doing station identification all the time. So let's say you're watching a television program or a movie. Down in the corner of the screen, there'll be the station identification. You know, what station you're watching. They never used to do that. Now they do it. You know when they don't do it? Is when commercials come on. Because they don't want to interfere with the advertising or the advertising integrity of that station. But they don't care about the television program, and they don't care about the movie. And of course, you don't need a station identification on there all the time, because there's no point to it. You know what the hell channel you're watching. Maybe. I used to watch the Weather Channel back in the day, you know? A couple weeks ago when I was watching The Walking Dead, I had flipped, because there's so many damn commercials, it makes it almost worth not watching. And I flipped around, flipped up to the Weather Channel, and it was like some show about fat guys surviving in the woods or whatever. And then, you know what? Or truck drivers. You know, tow truck driver. I wanted to see the weather. I wanted to know what's going on. Yeah, I can look out the window and I know what's going on. And I have weather applications where I can just look at the radar and get the gist of what's going to happen. I don't need a meteorologist to sit there and tell me what the weather's going to be, because they don't even know what they're talking about. They're going to listen to the same computer that I'm going to look at. So I may as well cut out the meteorologist. The only time I want to see the Weather Channel in action is when there's a huge storm. I am an entropy fan. So it's kind of like, you want to call it a character trait, but it's not, all right, it's more like a character deficiency. I'm an entropy fan. And everybody is. Almost everybody. Come on, man. You have to look at the horrible thing. There's a horrible thing. You got to look at it. You got to see it. You got to see it for your own eyes. You got to witness it for your own eyes. You know, I mean, that's part of what we are as humans, I think. So, yeah, when a truck goes out of control and a tractor pull, it goes into the audience and rolls over 40 people, I'm there. I want to see that. You know what I mean? I mean, like, if there's a tornado that comes through and destroys all kinds of crap, I want to see that, man. It's carnage. And it also evokes, like, emotions in you. You know, when you reach out and you help people, especially, you know, when Katrina happened in New Orleans and the whole region down there, I sent a ton of money. I sent supplies, I sent stuff, whatever. And more than that, I supported local businesses that were down there that did business on the Internet, like business cards and banners and whatever. Whatever I needed to have made up, and then I kind of pushed those things. And I think that's a good way to support an area when they've been hit hard, to support business, you know. But, you know, in the world of entropy, the only time I want to see that is when Jim Cantore's, like, out there being pelted with ice, and he's like, you know. He almost gets zapped by lightning, and he jumps up, and he's like, a thunder snow, you know? Or are you waiting for, like, that stop sign to hit him in the head or some Volvo to fall on top of him during a hurricane or whatever, whatever happens, you know? It's all good. So they don't even have that anymore. How the hell do you get? I don't want to see fat guys in the woods. I can see that every day. I live in the country. I can see that every day. Fat guys in the woods, yeah, not rare. Oh, yeah, ice road truck, what? Well, I want to see some truck driving over ice. It's irritating. I really watch some better. You know, at that rate, watch nothing. At that rate, just have nothing on the screen. I have to watch a tow truck. What the hell is entertaining about that? Are people really watching that? Because television, this is why I abandoned television, except for The Walking Dead. And I like The Walking Dead because no one's looking at their cell phone for one reason. And it's about survival. And that's what life is about, is survival, you know? That's what we got. We need to survive. This is why we make our money and pay our taxes and have nice homes and whatever we can get to protect ourselves, basically, we do it. We plan for our future. You think about the future. You think about life and what, you know, in the United States here, we're guaranteed certain things. Maybe the last 8 years, last administration, they didn't care about those things. But people care about those things, which is why you have a Donald Trump in there. Anytime one of my liberal friends ever says, hey, Trump, yeah, it sounds like they're doing some kind of Indian chant. Hey, hey, Trump, hey, Trump. Like, whatever. You can call him whatever you want. You can say whatever you want about him. I don't like the guy either. This is why people, they hate me. They can't get me on anything. When people, I start spouting off crap about Obama, people start shame-talking me about Bush. Well, Bush did this, whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Trump's an idiot. I get it. You know? Trump is a perfect example that money doesn't buy him class. I get that. I live my life on a certain level, and I don't tell anybody else to do that. I just do it for myself because it's a level I like to be on. And then when I read ancient texts, Chinese or whatever, like all these different cultures, where really a good segment of that, those populations, people were stand-up people. They're real. They had to survive every day and rely on one another to do that. And I think that humanity has lost so much in this race to the bottom of the barrel. And why people are doing it to themselves is really beyond any kind of reasoning. You can't come up with a reason to say, okay, sacrifice everything that's good about you and embrace everything that's bad and then race to the bottom of the barrel. Race for that ultimate destruction. So, I don't partake in that, you know? And I think that the media and television in general is actually a worthy reflection on a lot of humanity because it sort of shapes humanity. It's still monkey see, monkey do. That has never changed. You know, if you want to live your life on a certain level, you have it inside of you to seek that out. A lot of people will go to organized religion to seek that out. And then they're unfulfilled. They come back saying, you know, I feel like it's wrong. There's things that are wrong about this one or that one. There's inconsistencies that they don't believe in. And then when people say that to me, I say, well, what do you believe in? Do you believe in, you know, doing good for yourself, doing good for your neighbors? And if someone needs something, I mean, I don't know anyone that would refuse them. If you knocked on their door and said, hey, I'm starving to death, I don't know people that wouldn't give you food or wouldn't help you in some way. I don't want to know those people. I have purged a lot of those people from my life. You know, I mean, when you're young, you start, you know, you meet all kinds of people. You make up in your own mind. God gave me an ability to see through people for the most part. You know, sometimes you want to believe people, and I think that you see through them, and you still believe that they're not that great, or that they're not good, and then you still take them close to you, and then you learn your lesson and screw you over. That's a whole different thing. And trusting your gut and your intuition, it's what we've got. So out there in the world, when people are at odds, and they're hating, and they're in anger, and they're watching the media is just like bombarding you with all this hate talk. It's tiring, you know? And then you tune in to anti-social media. People are on there attacking each other constantly, arguing about anything. I mean, you could say, I like grape jelly. And then there's going to be like, jelly's not good for you. You know, you're out of here. Jelly. Apricot jelly. You fucking can't win. You just can't win. So you back off, you know, don't say anything. Or be the person that just says stuff just to get people rolling. It's fun to do sometimes because they're out there. You can tell, you can take liberals right now and tell them anything. You can tell them anything about Trump. You can say that Donald Trump is going to put himself on the $1 bill and they will believe it, and they will go on Twitter, they will go on Facebook, they'll go on all these other social media applications. Donald Trump's putting himself on the $1 bill. George Washington, out. Trump is in. Boo! You know what I mean? They would believe it because these people want to believe it. It's not that it's true. It's not that they think it's true. They want to think it's true. Just like Rachel Maddow and the crap that comes out of her mouth, she wants to believe it. She makes money from it. She makes millions and millions of dollars from her job of heating people up, getting people to hate, making people angry at one another. Not looking for a solution. Has anyone out there ever listened to one of these television hosts and ever heard from out of any of their mouths at any time anything about a solution? So they use their television talk time, the valuable talk time worth millions of dollars a minute. They use their talk time to spread hate and anger and frustration while you're trying to live your life and go to your job. People fighting more than any other time now. More car accidents now than any other time. A lot of it's texting, yes. But then a lot of it's anger. People are angry. People are fist fight angry. I told you about the fist fight that happened at my barbershop. Yeah, it's an old-timer barbershop. There's two dudes rolling around on the ground over Hillary and Trump. Stupid. Is that what you're going to waste your time on and your energy and then risk an injury or worse? Arguing about two billionaires who could give a crap about you? People that just control, power control? And Trump's an enigma wrapped in a puzzle, wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a puzzle. Only Trump knows how Trump operates. He's crazy, right? He really is. I really believe they are. And when you're a billionaire and you're crazy, they call you eccentric. So he's eccentric. If he was poor, he'd be crazy. If he was poor, he wouldn't be president. He's only president because he's wealthy and well-known. And, of course, people hated Hillary. And, you know, my little liberal friends, they're cute. They're like little kittens, you know what I mean? And then when they start going off and meowing and hissing at nothing and clawing at the air, I remind them of why he's there. I remind them of what they got to do. Their duty to themselves in this world. Because if you look at yourself as self, and you start getting away from, you know, all of this madness, you realize that you have needs. And you need to satisfy those needs. I'm hungry, need to eat. I'm horny, gonna have sex. You know, all kinds of good stuff out there. But there are people letting this media crap and political crap get in all this confusion, get in the way of their lives. I know people saying, oh man, can't even have sex. My wife won't have sex with me because, you know, she's mad, she's liberal, and I'm conservative. Your wife won't have sex with you because she's liberal and you're conservative. So she's going to deny you sex and not want to be with you because of politics, man. So, is that crazy? I mean, like, to me, yeah, I mean, you're breaking a bond of your relationship because of politics. And I think that things have become so heated, and these these media outlets are using people so much. All right, it's like this. On the Daily Update the other day, I talked about a story about Tiffany Trump, who was at Fall Fashion Week, right? There's a photographer there. She takes a picture of Tiffany sitting by herself with a couple seats around her that are open. The photographer goes and sells it to a media outlet and puts the description, Tiffany Trump sits alone at Fall Fashion Week. Nobody wanted to sit near her. Everybody gave up their seats to be away. So there's empty seats all around. Now, Whoopi Goldberg of The View, Whoopi Goldberg picked it up, thinking it's real news, and then she ran with it. And keep in mind, a lot of people did. A lot of people picked it up as real news. And she ran with it. And she said, you know, it's wrong to do that to Tiffany Trump. It has nothing to do with her father, with politics. She just wants to go look at the fashion. And she said, Tiffany, I will sit with you at any of these events. I'd be proud to. And Tiffany Trump tweeted back to Whoopi Goldberg, that's awesome. I look forward to it. Thank you so much. I love you. That's, and then, you know, Whoopi Goldberg hates Trump and what he's all about. But you can look at it a lot of different ways. You can manipulate that whole exchange and say, well, Whoopi Goldberg just did it to slap Trump in the face, giving pity to his daughter. Yeah, you can look at it like that. Or you can look at, you know, maybe she just reached out to her because she saw somebody's being embattled that shouldn't be embattled because they just happen to be a child of Donald Trump. People going after Barron Trump, little 10-year-old kid, in the Saturday Night Live, and all these other people. There's a lot more. You know, they're starting to go after him more and more. He's a kid, man. You know? He's not his father. But they will sink. They will go down to every level. There's no bottom for this hate, this anger. But, you know what? If Whoopi Goldberg's intentions are pure, good for her, man. And the fact that that photograph, the woman lied because she was a big libtard and she wanted to put it out there just to hurt Tiffany, just to hurt Trump and do that whole thing, that there were people sitting around her, there were a lot of people sitting around here, and she was talking to the photographers there and the whole bit. So it was fake news. It was a lie. It was presented in a certain way to hurt somebody, to hurt people. And I think that it needs to stop. So how do you put the integrity back into the news? Me personally, I'm not going to present anything to anybody out there. I don't consider myself a news show, even though I talk about, I consider myself a news analyst. That's kind of how I put myself out there. But we talk about what's going on, current events. And we also talk about the energy out there in the world and what people are feeling. You know, and I talk to a lot of people, you know, around my town, around the city, around the world. I talk to a lot of people and I ask them, hey, how are you feeling? How you doing? You know, maybe it's hard to find someone that says that to you. I want to know. I like to know. I like to know how people are doing. And if they're doing okay, like lately, I purged like a couple hundred people off my Facebook just the other day. I go into these purge modes. There's just too many damn people on there that I didn't really want to talk to, I guess. Just a lot of people just putting, you know, I don't know who the hell they were. As a matter of fact, people who have sent me things over time. And I added them, but people I don't really talk to, they're not like high school friends or people within my group. And then, or people who are psychos, who are freaking out of control. Dudes that would be pictures of themselves dressed up in lingerie, telling me they want to have sex with me. Yeah, I'm not going to keep you on my friends list. Shit to me. You know what I mean? I mean, like, control yourself. I don't care who you are, male or female. If you like the way someone looks, by all means, tell them, hey, I like the way you look. Well, you know, like, hey, look at me, and whatever. That's somebody who's out of control. So I got rid of a whole bunch of people. And then I'm looking around on there. I have a few people that some of them we see politically eye to eye, some of them don't. And if I don't see politically eye to eye with you, you're an extremist. I have to say that. If you take somebody who's middle of the road, and I consider myself a middle of the road progressive, but I'm realistic, and I know what needs to be done. I know exactly what needs to be done, and I can argue that point, and I'll be right. So there are extremists. There are people, for instance, who think that no matter what Trump does, it's going to be bad. Even if he cured cancer in the world, it's bad. Everybody has money and everybody's happy. Nobody has, you know, worries about their bills and people are healthy, happy, bad. No matter what he does, they will never say he's good. He did something good. They just can't say it. Then you have the Trump people who will think everything he does is good. Nothing he does is bad. And never admit. So like these little lies he's been telling. Either it's misinformation or lies or just pig-headedry. You know, he's a pig-headed dude, man. I mean, he's a guy that will not admit he's wrong. He's a guy that needs to be, you know, he's got the little man syndrome. You know, he wants to be the big man. And I think that he can be. He just needs to sit back and shut up, but that's not his style. And it could happen. I've been saying that since the beginning. It's not his style. He won't do it. He's going to engage. He's going to get down and dirty. People know that. They sucker him in. They pull him right in. It's easy with people like that. It's easy to provoke them. It's easy to trigger them. It's simple. In psychological warfare, easy peasy. Not even something you got to think about. But, so, the whole, like, you know, I had more electoral votes than anyone, and, you know, people, reporters in the room are like, well, you didn't. Well, I meant Republican. Well, no, you didn't. You know, Bush had more than you. Other people had more than you. Yeah, I've seen that information. I don't know. That's his response. So it's kind of like you got to get away from all that 11-year-old nonsense, right? Isn't that what it is? It's like you and little kids argue. They say the dumbest things to each other because the little kids, their brains aren't developed. That's kind of the way it goes. We got that as president, and we were hoping that Trump would appoint all these great people around him that he was going to listen to and be able to run things that need to be run. You know, I believe in border security. I know that much. There's this thing going on now where the Mexicans made a human chain. There weren't all that many. I know one location there were like 1,500 people, but it was organized by senators here in America and other politicians that have a vested interest or have the background, have a Mexican background. And I see their point of view if they have a Mexican background, because this is the problem. This is the whole thing. Because of Barack Obama, and not just him, George W. Bush, even Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, believe it or not, was tighter on the border than most people. But it's been an open door policy in a way that they're just used to all these people coming over. They disperse, they arrest a lot of them, they can't arrest all of them because they don't have the resources or they don't have the manpower. If thousands of people are crossing in a day, you need tens of thousands of agents to be able to stop that. Right? So you build a wall. I'm not sure if a wall is feasible in, for the whole region, from the whole border, the entire border. I would do a wall and have top-notch security at places that have the heavy traffic, and the places that don't have the heavy traffic, you can have your fences, you can have all kinds of electronics. You know, there's other things you could do, a lot of surveillance, and keep an eye on the border. But we have to know that we're safe in this country from anyone coming over the border. If there's Mexicans who want to come and work and you know, work the fields, do the stuff, work a job, whatever the heck they want to do, they can get day work passes or they can get like work passes to come over, work their job, then go home, work their job, rent a place, then go home, maybe get on a pass for citizenship. There needs to be a flexibility. because we are a melting pot. We're not all just one type of person in this country. But I think that all of us as taxpayers agree, we don't need a burden. The burden is what drags us down. We don't need criminals coming in. We don't need people coming in just on welfare. We don't need any of that. So it's all about us supporting one another, right? So we need border security. And then this whole ban that basically amounted into a ban on Muslims, but it's not, because 85% of the world's Muslims can still come and go to the United States freely with no problem. This travel ban affects countries that support terrorism. These are countries where terrorists come from. They're known terrorists, and they support terrorism. I put Saudi Arabia on that ban, too, by the way, because Saudi Arabia, if you look at 9/11, most of the attackers came from Saudi Arabia. Osama bin Laden was from Saudi Arabia. And now we have information saying that Saudi Arabia, a lot of those emirs, supported bin Laden and gave them money and supported terrorism. But since we're friendly, so-called friendly, with Saudi Arabia, we don't do that. If you want to know my take, I'm not going to support Trump in that. And some of it, yeah, like Somalia. This country's, you know, Yemen and Iran. You know, this country's we got to keep an eye on because they want to kill us. If you've ever listened to them, it's not like it's a hidden thing. You know, oh yeah, maybe they don't mention it on CNN. But when they pray in Iran, before they pray, they say, death to America. Death to America. So, you know, you got Iran officials trying to downplay that when they were talking to the media. Oh, well, it's just a thing that we say. They don't really mean it, whatever. If you say death to America, I'm going to take you to face value. Now, you want to kill me because of whatever your crazy idea is. Whatever. I don't care what it is. That's the deal. I don't care if you ate a bad chicken McNugget and you want to kill me. I don't care if it's because your faith or your faith, whatever you can call faith, because of your man-made religion. I don't care if it's because of a certain country you come from. I don't care if it's because you're having a bad day. I don't care if it's because you think I'm ugly. You know, it doesn't matter. If you want to kill me, and you say you're going to kill me, I'm going to get you first so I can enjoy my life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. I'm not going to sit around and be a target. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to shut that stuff down. And that's what we need to do as a country. If people outright threaten us that they're going to kill us all the time, we need to shut that stuff down. You can't ignore it. Well, you got Kim Jong-un. He's threatened it all the time. The guy's got nuclear missiles. I think that we need to go and take care of that. Maybe not have a war, but I need, and you know what? This is why the UN has no balls, because there's atrocities going on all over the place. The UN does nothing. You have all this stuff, you know, children being raped by jihadists who are of Islam, you know? And they sit by, they do, you know, UN peacekeeping force and all that. They do nothing. The only thing the UN is good for is judging us, apparently. And then want to take our money and give it to people who don't deserve it. So, like, welfare stuff. So the UN needs to just understand that if you're going to step up to the plate, the people you need to be stepping up to are people like Russia, are people like China, are people like Iran. There's a lot of stepping up they can do. We're trying to hold our own here in the United States. Now, Trump is in there, and he's enforcing laws. So on the border, people are pissed off. You have a chain of Mexicans. Oh, we're protesting the border wall. Well, stay where you are, and we'll freaking wall you out. So you guys can be happy. Because it's about the law. So Trump's enforcing the law. Let's just say that you enforced the law, period, on the border. Okay, so if you enter the country legally, you'll be arrested, and then you'll be deported in a timely fashion. If you enter the country legally and commit a crime, you'll be charged, you'll be convicted, probably, maybe, and then you'll be dispatched accordingly, either to a prison or, you know, wherever, depending on the crime. But under Barack Obama especially, it's been an open door. Obama encouraged people to come over. He wanted people to. So did the Pope. You know, most of those people coming over from Mexico or South America or Central America, most of them are Catholic. And when those people become voters, most of them will vote how that Catholic Church wants them to vote. I talk about that here, you know, here from time to time. If you think that religion is not in competition with any other religion, you don't know what you're talking about. The Pope can sit there and say, well, terrorism is not of Islam. Yeah, I know Islamic people that threatened his life. I see it all the time in the news, the real news, that the Pope is in danger because these jihadists who are of Islam want to kill him. But then he's going to say, oh, but the Pope knows that in the end, there's only one religion. That's what they're, that's the goal they're working for. They're not looking to coexist. They're looking to conquer. Catholicism is a conquering religion, you know? And it's a religion based on money and power. And that's what that is. So, yeah, we close the border. That messes that whole thing up. People come over the natural way. We naturalize 700,000 to 800,000 people a year, which is a lot of people, you know? And they come over, and you know what? They have to speak English. There's rules to being naturalized. There's rules to getting a green card. You have to speak English. You have to be able to speak and write English. The liberals will say, that's terrible. How dare you? How dare you force someone to speak English? It's an English-speaking country. Well, then you have to make special rules for another group of people who refuse to assimilate to a country they want to come to. You're entering an English-speaking country. You are leaving your Spanish-speaking country behind. So it is the obligation and the duty of the person coming in to assimilate. And you don't have to assimilate to the culture to believe in what people believe in or whatever. But speaking English and writing English is basic common knowledge of how to get around in America, how to understand police officers if they pull you over. So, you know, they don't have to be bilingual if they don't want to be bilingual. It's good to know different languages. I won't knock that, right? But in this world, you had 8 years of Barack Obama allowing all kinds of stuff, disregarding the Constitution completely and allowing anything he wanted, you know, open border. So you had 8 years of border guards doing catch and release. You had 8 years of people allowing people to go through. These ranchers who were down there in Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, California, felt like their hands were tied. There's a guy who went and rounded up over 1,000 illegal aliens with a bunch of his dudes with horses, and the feds were ready to arrest him. And they were on his property. They're telling him he can't enforce the law. You got drugs coming over the border. We have a huge opioid crisis. Invaded Afghanistan, and I was watching television when this American general said that we have to support the people who grow poppies. What does that mean? It means you have to support the people that grow poppies. And now we have all this heroin. Then we had a war in Colombia that didn't bode well. And what happened there? They all moved up to Mexico, and they started growing their own stuff there. So, yeah, this is the world that we're in. It's a political nightmare, right? And they don't learn from history, man. You know, look at Al Capone. Look at all that back in the day. They don't learn from their own damn history of how not to make people famous, how not to make people rich off of other people's misery, right? I don't know. Here we are. Here we are in a world that wants to turn a blind eye. Look at this stuff at Fukushima, right? I know, I like saying Fukushima. It's in Japan. and that's where the nuclear reactor had melted down. What was it now, 6 years ago? 2011. So, the biggest disaster on the planet Earth, it's spewing radiation into the ocean, into the air, all day long, every day. Worse now than it ever was, it's, they sent two of these high-tech robots in the last 2 weeks to try to remove fuel rods and check out some damage. Both of the robots died. Yakuza, the Japanese mafia, had rounded up a whole bunch of homeless people and made them work at these plants until they get a toxic level of radiation in their system. Then they fire them, don't pay them, release them back in the streets, and they die. There's radioactive pigs running around. You know, the pigs ran through the whole area, the region there, it's all radioactive. The pigs breed like you wouldn't believe. So all these feral pigs are running through the woods. They're, you know, going through farms, infecting other animals. People are afraid to shoot the pigs. They don't know what to do with them. They're looking to get older hunters who can, you know, be exposed to that type of radiation to go hunt these pigs. There are, what's been described is hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions by now, of these pigs running through the woods and spreading out of the region. These are just a few things that are going on with this plant. So radiation reaching the West Coast of the United States of America, we shut down all of these radiation detectors because they kept going off. Debris showing up in the United States of America, it's going in the air, it's going in the ocean, killing sea lions, killing whales, killing fish, making other fish radioactive. Nobody wants to talk about it because it's so ugly, and it's a meltdown going on right in front of everybody's faces, and no one wants to talk about it. They're talking about how big Trump's hands are, right, or what's going on in his golf course, but they're not talking about this disaster. Talk about climate change with no data to back it up, but they won't talk about this disaster at Fukushima. So in my world, the science that I know, I'm a backyard scientist, you know. In my world, the only thing that we could do is nuke that whole site. And that will put an end to the leakage anyway. It'll blow the whole thing up. All the materials will mix together in that explosion, you know, and everything fused together. So there'll be nothing to leak, there'll be no fuel rods left, there'll be nothing. It'll be radioactive, it'll be messed up, it'll be a place people can't go. We've blown up lots of nuclear bombs on the face of the planet, you know? All you need is a tactical nuke, and Japan needs to do it. You know, they need to approve it anyway. It needs to be done, because it's going to get worse and worse and worse. These fuel rods are hitting the water. They built a reactor on a fault line, an active fault line, where they know that has frequent earthquakes on the ocean. Where's the brain? Where's their brains? Where's the planning? Find the worst possible place to build a nuclear reactor. Or that's what they wanted. Maybe that's what they wanted. Right? All those stories about Godzilla, where do you think all that comes from? So no one's really talking about it. I know Trump met with Japan's Prime Minister Abe at his golf course last week. And it's a whole issue. It's a whole issue that needs to be taken care of because people are going to die. That radioactivity, it's not going to go away. It's going to affect the entire fishing industry. You think that radioactivity, those radioactive fish aren't going to go up there by Alaska, the crabs, shellfish, really? Lobster, stuff like that, any crustaceans that feed for their bottom feeders, they feed from the bottom of the ocean floor, where all this radioactivity is collecting. It's a nightmare. Go look at some of the maps that show the radioactivity pluming out of that place. It's a nightmare. And then people will fight Chernobyl, well, this, they can do this, they can do that. Chernobyl wasn't on the ocean. It was in an isolated region in the middle of nowhere. And to this day, it's emitting radiation. They put a sarcophagus over it. They need another one. You know, this radiation's got a half-life of 5,000 years, usually, or more. That means it'll take at least 10,000 years for it to dissipate. Jesus Christ was walking around 2,000 years ago. You get what I'm saying? So you're talking about something that is so long off in the future that it's nearly unfathomable to our little puny human existence. So we need to stop it and put a stop to it. It needs to be a real, I think every country needs to be involved. And if you have a nuclear plant on a fault line anywhere in the world, shut it down. Close it down. You know what? These nuclear plants, they're no good. They don't work. You know, they produce power, cheap power, yeah, all that. But the fact that you can't control the safety is beyond alarming. Because it's something that could do people in, period. Right? Do people in. You know, it's not something as simple as a dam busting and repairing a dam. You talk about nuclear fuel rods. And then when they're spent, they're just as radioactive, and then they have to store them. Hillary put Russia in charge of that, gave them a cushy deal. Talk about cozying up to Russians. Of course, they gave her a nice big donation for her the Clinton Foundation, right? And that's business, huh? I guess that's not called bribery anymore. I guess it's just called business. So, Germany's election is in 6 months, and don't expect Merkel to win. There's a movement going on of social democrats. They don't want the immigrants. They're welcoming more refugees. And Merkel just said, Islam is not a source of terror, really. How about all these huge terrorist attacks that are all of Islam, and all of them cite Islam? They don't say, I did it because I wanted to. They say, I did it for my religion. So, yeah, good luck with that. So the challenger, Martin Schulz, he looks really good, and a lot of people like him. A lot of people want him in. We'll see what happens. But in this country, man, I'll tell you, I think that if Trump doesn't have a nervous breakdown or gets struck down by a bolt of lightning or any kind of weird thing happens and he totes the line, even if he just enforces the laws, a lot of people are going to be unhappy because they've been used to breaking the law. And they had a Barack Obama where they were able to break the law and do what they want to do. Street thugs, beating up cops, shooting cops, doing all these things, getting away with it. Black Lives Matter. Police, I wouldn't expect any of that. You're not hearing a word about Black Lives Matter. You're not hearing a word about climate change. We pulled out of all of that. So a lot of people are applauding that. And the people who are applauding that, you know what, for 8 years, we were made to take it from Barack Obama. Made to take it. Doing things that were contrary to our beliefs as people. You know, forcing us into a politically correct behavior that was detrimental for the growth of our country. And then now you have Trump in there trying to undo all this stuff and then making a lot of mistakes along the way. People are going to make mistakes. Obama made mistakes. Bill Clinton made mistakes. All those guys made mistakes, but the media didn't pound them like they're pounding Trump. So Trump is embattled. And in that embattlement, it's hurting our country. And the people that are doing it, they're not just hurting Trump, they're hurting everybody. And I'm going to leave you guys with that. This is Michael Angley on Michael Angley Live on UPRN, United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Paris, Christiane. I'll see you next week.